I'm Kevin Chambers, technologist with NCMM, the National Center for Mobility Management, and this is Conversations with Leaders, a podcast funded by NCMM. Check out our resources aimed at mobility managers at nc4mm.org. On today's episode of Conversations with Leaders, we have Janae Futrell, a city planner and architectural designer with 13 years of experience, who has a great deal of experience with mobility technology planning as well. Prior to starting Civic Sphere in 2017, she worked with the City of Atlanta as Senior Program Manager for Smart Cities at the Atlanta Regional Commission, overseeing work programs for the Regional Transit Committee and Human Services Transportation, which integrates disability, aging, and low-income needs. A key element of Janae's work for the National Center for Mobility Management has been the development of a one-call, one-click resource center. Because of the depth of her experience, I asked her to come and talk about one-call, one-click systems and the recommendations she makes for agencies that want to implement one. So, welcome, Janae.
Yes, thanks so much for having me, Kevin.
So let's start off and talk about what one-call, one-click systems are and how you define them.
Yes, sure thing. So one-call, one-click systems are primarily about increasing the awareness of and also access to transportation services across the geographic area. So this is typically an area that has several or many transportation services, which can cause confusion for people. That's one of the important reasons for having them. And they inform the public about most, if not all, of those options, and they make sure that all the different populations are included. And with one-call, one-click efforts, the goal, and this is in my estimation, is to improve the user experience of trip planning, booking, and paying, and ideally reaching more people with these resources. Now, of course, some services have eligibility requirements, so this is an important aspect to include as well. Part of improving the user experience involves having a so-called one-stop shop so that a user can call one phone number or access one website or mobile app, and potentially even both of these together. And this is what gives One Call, One Click that name, of course. And as an aside, the term or concept mobility as a service is rising in popularity these days. I'm sure most of your audience has heard of it. And it's worth mentioning that there's a great deal of overlap between these two concepts, One Call, One Click, and mobility as a service.
Great. Thanks for that introduction. So one thing that I understand is that your organization, Civic Sphere, has been supporting NCMM's One Call, One Click educational efforts for some time now. So tell me a little bit about your background and what prepares you for your role of understanding and analyzing and helping other organizations manage One Call, One Click systems.
Well, I was a project manager for a One Call, One Click effort, which now feels a bit back in the day. This was in 2012 to 2014. And I worked for the Atlanta Regional Commission. So I have some personal experience with one project in particular. We built a custom platform to facilitate multimodal trip planning across the Atlanta region. The project was funded by the FTA's Veterans Transportation and Community Living Initiative, VTCLI for short. Those in your audience who know of this stuff from way back when will be familiar with that grant. And one of the benefits of that funding was that it fostered a network of agencies essentially in the same boat of setting up these one-call, one-click systems. So I was definitely with good company. And further, there was an even smaller group of us, and we were working on trip planning platforms specifically. So we were basically able to trade notes and experiences in real time and kind of share our thoughts on how things were going. But really being part of that VTCLI network helped me to gain an understanding of different types of one-call, one-click projects. Not only the type that I was working on, but the types that others were working on. And I could kind of see what kind of challenges they were facing as they were trying to get them set up.
Great. One thing you mentioned to me earlier is that the training last year brought to mind a number of stumbling blocks that transportation officials might or professionals might encounter when implementing one-call, one-click efforts. Could we explore that topic together?
Absolutely. Well, I've observed three different categories of what we're calling stumbling blocks. So things that can sort of get people a bit off track on their one call, one click effort. And the first category is what I would define as strategic in nature. And this is really all about how to approach one call, one click efforts with realistic expectations and build a truly viable path forward. The second category is collaboration related. And these are really considerations for working with partner organizations, which is a pretty typical requirement for these types of efforts. And the last one deals with the stumbling block of conflating one-call, one-click efforts with the transportation services themselves on the ground, as opposed to working on one-call, one-click as distinctly focused on that informational and transactional kind of digital side of transportation services. So first, let's talk about the strategic stumbling blocks. So one that comes to mind is that agencies don't always allocate, in my opinion, the adequate time and energy that would be required to successfully plan and prepare for a one-call, one-click project. In short, I think that they have the tendency to be underestimated just because people haven't done it before. And that can be kind of dangerous to get into. They typically involve a range of collaborators. And by the nature of that, it requires a certain amount of time spent just getting everyone on the same page about what the project should be like, what the goals are, where we're all headed. And also it takes a lot of energy and time to keep them on that same page because the situation changes and everybody has to adjust together. I've also found that because technology is involved, there is this tendency that the projects kind of get reduced to a procurement exercise. That can also be a bit of a pitfall. So the way I see it, even if procurement is a part of the effort, my experience generally places the procurement in the middle of the effort, sort of sandwiched between the collaboration work and the project management. And we all know that this can be running concurrently, so I'm kind of speaking generally here. But the agency has to identify the type of technology needed and the requirements for that technology. And both of these exercises tend to be very collaboration heavy. Ideally, this would happen early on in the effort to prepare the group for that procurement. And what I mean by that is the group itself would discuss and agree on the technology requirements rather than someone, you know, maybe the project manager having the vast majority of the say. And then, of course, there's the project management work. So someone should take the lead in keeping all of the details of a one-call, one-click together. They would be tracking the collaboration and procurement aspects early on. But then after procurement, they would end up overseeing that rollout of the new system. The way I think of it, they would be the kind of, quote, keeper of the details and the spreadsheets these days, so to speak. And they would understand all the project timing, who gets involved, when on what needs to happen in what order, and then dynamically adjust all this as the unexpected occurs. Some agencies, I find, hesitate to have someone in a project management role in these efforts, but really this is key for keeping all the loose ends tied together and moving forward. So that sort of paints the big picture there, Kevin. But let me delve into three specific strategic considerations. The first is a lack of clear vision and action steps. So put simply, if an agency doesn't know where they're headed and how exactly they plan to get there, they hinder their ability to successfully implement a one-call, one-click. Now, of course, figuring out these details is a challenge all of its own. And NCMM's training is something that's designed to fill this gap specifically. Another I've noticed is an agency waiting for a one-time grant to fund a new one-call, one-click effort. And while I can, as I stated earlier, that certainly helped me get started on my first one, and that's gotten many a project kickstarted, agencies should also be aware that there may be other creative options out there. A few examples I've seen include dedicated funding that the agency gets annually, in-kind contributions to incorporate the services of partners, and even diverting agency staff if you have the kind of skills on board that might be applicable to the project. And that can be as an alternative to hiring consultants. And again, that doesn't have to be everything for the projects, but it could be, for instance, the project management aspect that I mentioned. The name of the game for one-call, one-click projects is really to maximize resources, even if those resources might not be obvious at first. And finally, there's what I'll call waiting for perfect conditions. So some agencies go for years with aspirations of a one-call, one-click effort, but they are waiting on some kind of transformational event to occur. And this could be another agency doing a project first, and they're going to kind of join it, or maybe getting that major grant, as I mentioned, or some other event. While, of course, there can be complementary happenings that increase the viability of a one-call, one-click effort, at the same time, there's something to be said for starting small, but getting started nonetheless. The 2020 training that NCMM provided went into detail about how one-call, one-click projects could be very iterative, so kind of one effort adding on top of the next. And through strategic planning, agencies can figure out how to start small and build gradually. So NCMM's one-call, one-click training from 2020, even following along after the fact with those posted online materials that I mentioned, they can help an organization thoroughly address all their strategic planning needs.
Great. And thanks, Janae, for mentioning those materials online. So NCMM does have all the materials from your
coursework online. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's fantastic because I think that's a great resource. So those are some of the more strategic components that you talked about. You've also talked about collaboration a bit. Let's home in on that for a bit. Talk about the role of collaboration in a successful one call, one click effort.
Yes. So working with partner organizations, as I mentioned, is a typical requirement for one call, one click. And that's because, kind of back to what I mentioned before, these efforts often seek to increase awareness of and access to transportation across all these different jurisdictions. So you can imagine that there's many transportation providers out there that have to be involved. And other kind of let's say managing organizations in an area. This often puts working together at the center of the effort. So I'll frame these stumbling blocks as two tips I suggest to foster productive collaboration. The first tip deals with when to involve certain parties. The project manager should think through the most efficient way to involve various parties at different steps in the project. Honestly, not every person needs to be at every meeting or every collaborative group session. So tailoring all of those discussions to match the real input that each professional should be providing. Otherwise, people may think that their time is not valued, and that can lead to project disengagement. Now, at the same time, I suggest that people don't fall into the trap of getting feedback from key people too late. I've seen technology procurements where the actual software users were simply handed software to use after the procurement was complete. And that's just without ever being asked about their requirements. So, of course, you could understand how that would be a very frustrating situation that the people should avoid. And the second tip deals with which parties to involve more fundamentally. I've seen projects that theoretically should have four organizations or so involved because these four organizations all have transportation services or some kind of management role in a particular area. However, some organizations have, let's call it a lackluster history with each other. So they end up developing parallel efforts, or one gets started without involving the other. And I know this can be really difficult, but it is generally best to at least attempt to involve all the relevant parties from day one. Everybody can have different roles and responsibilities, and the project can be designed to ramp up direct involvement up or down at various steps. But there should be some way to involve kind of those key parties. And if this is not done, the fear for me that I see is that the people who will bear the burden are really the writers. This type of activity ends up where they have to contact multiple agencies for their trips, kind of keeping that status quo, and they end up having to take more circuitous routes as a result. And of course, this ends up going against that basic premise of one call, one click efforts. And I'll close this topic with saying that all of these collaboration considerations can be built into the strategic planning that an organization should complete prior to getting started. And I'll say it one more time, using the 2020 training video, recording, and those worksheet assignments can help you get there.
Great. Thanks for that, Janae. That's very helpful. So one thing that you mentioned early on is that there could be stumbling blocks around conflating one call, one click systems with the transportation services themselves. Can you delve more into that?
Yes. So one call, one click efforts are really focused on the informational and transactional sides of the service. So I'll just kind of refer to this as the digital realm. But they are separate from creating or expanding the transportation services themselves, which is the more physical on the ground realm. I often see confusion over this and a difficulty separating the two. At the same time, it is important to hold these two things as complementary efforts. They certainly are, and they do inform one another. But they're really distinct from an implementation perspective in terms of how you separate your projects, getting funding, how you get things done. So it's important to kind of acknowledge this, all of this at the same time. As I mentioned before, with one call, one click efforts, the goal is to integrate functions like trip planning, booking, and paying. But at the same time, ideally the services themselves would also be as integrated as possible to do things like reducing transfers and simplifying eligibility requirements. So really these physical and digital interactions can support each other to improve the entire user experience. As soon as you improve something on the ground, of course you reflect that in the digital realm. And so all of this kind of gets wrapped in together. But nonetheless, it's still good for an agency to keep these efforts distinct so that they can hit those right specific targets in terms of projects and funding and implementation. And one last thought. Many areas in the U.S. have systemic challenges with gaps in service or chronic underfunding. And above all, it's critical that transportation professionals not get too disheartened with these kinds of gaps that we find in our work. It is typical that as a one call, one click effort unfolds, such gaps are brought to light, even those you maybe weren't that aware of. And working on improving these services themselves and embarking on the one call, one click efforts can be done in tandem, kind of helping the various parts of the transportation system improve in parallel and improving that system as a whole. In my view, one call, one click efforts are something we really do have in our power that can help improve the inner workings of the services we already have. And professionals might consider them as shorter term efforts to complement what we all know is a very long game of improving and expanding transportation services.
So Janae, could you talk a little bit more about NCMM's one call, one click educational efforts?
Certainly. So beginning in late 2019, my firm CivicSphere started working with NCMM on a range of one call, one click efforts. So first we set up the online resource center, which walks the user through the basics of what one call, one click efforts involve and really provides an inventory of sorts of completed projects across the U.S. And we consider that our basic education level. The next level is the one call, one click training, which was conducted in the fall of 2020. So for this, NCMM selected three communities across the U.S. It essentially picked up where the resource center left off. So with that leaving those basics laid out, we wanted to help organizations directly with their own one-call, one-click efforts in a very tailored approach. We had these three training sessions. The first focused on strategic planning with setting the vision. And this is really about considering the different ways that the project could go. The way I phrase it sometimes is the why and what of the project. The second session focused on establishing clear action steps. I kind of call this the how of the project. So the approach we did was very step-by-step in its setup so that all the participants could learn how to go about handling the project in what we thought was a logical order. And then the final session provided examples of completed projects of interest to the participants, again, kind of tailored to the specific types of issues they were planning to tackle through their systems, and allow for a general discussion to wrap up those big questions that they still had. Now, in between the sessions, the participants had an assignment to work on within their own groups, which were from Ohio, Minnesota, and Utah. So basically, they were given these worksheets to complete to help them process the information from the training sessions based on their own unique circumstances. And this allowed time for each group to discuss topics amongst themselves, as differentiated from when we all met at the training all together, all three groups. And so between the basic and this more advanced educational level, the hope is that NCMM can help organizations move from a general understanding to a specific plan of action for taking on new types of one-call, one-click efforts. In fact, all of the video recordings from the 2020 training are available online at no cost, and the same thing for the assignment worksheets and the presentations. So this means that anyone interested can sort of follow along with the process and gain a result of a draft set of actions they should follow to begin implementing their own one-call, one-click system.
Fantastic. That's great. Okay, so let me ask you some other questions. So I have one question I have for you, you know, based on what you've laid out, that there's collaborative elements, there's technology elements, there's project management elements. And I would add that once this is all in place, once you have a one call, one click system, you've really suggested taking an iterative approach. So it's not like it's ever like a done thing that then you can put on the shelf and say, woo, we're done. But it's rather it's going to be more of a living element of a region's or organization's operations. So I'm curious to hear from you. Talk a little bit about managing those different skill sets, because it strikes me that building collaborative relationships between organizations is one skill set. Getting the technology dialed is another skill set, with the project management between the technology and the organizations. So, you know, when people are trying to think about the level of effort that they need to bring to a successful project, do you have any ideas for helping them think about that?
Yeah, I think, honestly, I worry sometimes that these types of projects can be discouraging to someone, let's say working in the transportation field, who doesn't have a software development background. And even these days, I think a lot of stakeholder-based work on the collaboration side, people assume that you should be a specialist in that. That's becoming more and more common. And so I think sometimes people shy away from, gosh, there's a lot to handle here, especially for a small organization. And I totally understand that. But one of the reasons we had the training, and one of the things I try to make sure that people understand, it's a couple things. So we talked about collaboration earlier on in our chat, and really, you don't have to be an expert in stakeholder management and integrating all this stuff. I think once you sit down with your project management plan, and what you're trying to do is really figure out, you know, what is the technology going to be? What are those requirements? And you kind of build it out from there. Who are the users of the software and who needs to be involved and at what time? And once you start to build out the details of that, you'll start, I think the person who's managing this will start to see, look, you don't involve everybody at the same time, and you have time to sort of hold a session with them, get their input, process it, you know, by yourself in private, figure out what's going on, come back to them, you know, make sure that you understood what they said, get any add-on feedback. So it doesn't have to be something where you're super specialized in it. So I certainly don't want people to think that that's going to be too hard of a lift. I think that's something you can handle a lot of times in-house. I think the project management, again, you don't have to have a project management certification. A lot of this is kind of logical in terms of just, you know, chunks of the project and things that need to be done. It just means that you need someone who's really responsible for getting all those loose ends tied together, because that's sort of what they end up becoming. Like, a lot of things are just happening at the same time. And it can be hard to keep track of it if there isn't someone doing that. So that can be as complicated or as simple as someone really wants it to be. And then finally, on that tech angle, a lot of times, especially if it's it'll be a custom software or an off the shelf. So a lot of times you have a technology partner involved, of course. And I learned early on in my career, there's a lot of reasons why you don't just let the technology provider lead the whole thing. A lot of times in an agency, even if there's a project manager, someone with that title at the technology company, helping you implement something off the shelf or helping you figure out how to get a custom software designs, either way, it's good for the agency to have their own project manager, because there's just so much internally that, of course, that consultant or that technology company is just not going to handle. It's not their role. And so that person needs to liaise with that technology provider, make sure that they ask critical questions so that you can understand and get the full range of what you need to report back to, basically, with your wider stakeholder group. So I think it's the type of thing, the first time an agency does it, they'll learn a lot, and it'll get easier from there. But yeah, I mean, I think you're totally right, Kevin. There's these kind of three prongs of the collaboration, the tech and the project management, and they do have to be managed pretty carefully.
Yeah, and one thing I hear from you, if I'm hearing you right, it kind of goes back to your point around taking an incremental approach, that you don't have to have all this sort of perfectly experienced staffing in place. You can work with who you have and let those folks learn as they develop the system.
Yeah, I really think it's we talked earlier, and I kind of called it, it's a shorter game when you compare it to the very long game of transportation services in one sense. In another sense, where we're headed with IT infrastructure and digital services and all that stuff, it's becoming a long game all by itself, to be honest. So I think the most important thing is that people get started and get those skills. I mean, if you gave it a year or two, you might not have the products necessarily you want, but maybe you're building that institutional knowledge that kind of needs to be in place before you can really get it going. I've even seen, even with employers or clients that I've had in the past, it's even hard for the agency itself. You know, we're not even talking about the real skills of the staff. It's a new type of procurement sometimes for them. It's really different from consulting services, for example. You know, or different types of city planning efforts they may have been used to. And so getting this type of software just procured is really challenging. And you talked a little bit about iteration, and it's also, I didn't even touch on it, but it is very important, which is just maintenance. And a lot of times that also kind of gets pushed to the wayside because people don't understand its importance. That's basically the thing that I've noticed. And that's a problem, because a lot of times an agency hasn't really allocated the proper funding to keep what they started maintained, and they haven't thought of how the staff and that funding needs to be in place for years after they implement it. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, it's basically like you're just getting started. No matter what you did, even if it was a pretty big project, sadly, you're just getting started, and you still have to be in there very hands-on. Maintaining what you had, rethinking the new features and functions that it should have in the next year or so, because as we know, there's hardly anything you look at online or in software these days, it doesn't stay the same. not even for 2 years. There's always an update, an upgrade. That's just how it works, and that's what the public expects. So that's pretty typical. And so I think that's one of the big challenges that people have. And again, that's why a lot of people go with off-the-shelf software, because they're going to be doing those types of upgrades and updates themselves. They might even help you a lot with maintenance. They might end up handling the vast majority of that. So I won't get into too much of those types of details, but the direction you go can really impact how much work you need to be prepared to put into it.
Great. So Janae, I have a question about relationship to failure. So I think for many organizations, this may be the first time that they embark on a project where there's so many different elements combined at the same time. As we talked about, there's the collaboration, there's the technology, there's the project management, there's a lot of different balls in the air. And with that, there's greater risk of making mistakes, of failure somewhere along the line. In fact, kind of what I hear implied in what you're talking about is that some level of failure is sort of inevitable. And that's, you know, what I heard a little bit when, like, people are going to learn a lot. And the way you learn is often by making mistakes. So I'm just curious if you have any comments or suggestions for organizations who are working with or planning a one call, one click system, is how to think about making room for mistakes and failure.
Yeah, that's pretty critical. And that's what I worry people get too hung up on, is that they worry that they don't have those skill sets and that will lead to some sort of failure in their mind, and that will kind of stop them in their tracks before they get started. But yeah, I totally agree with you. The learning process is about failure, if we're being honest. And I don't know. I don't even really think of it that way. I just think of it as kind of every organization has to learn from themselves. What I will say is that in 2021, the beauty of the situation is it's not 2010. And agencies have come a long way in terms of getting savvy about this stuff and involving more staff members. I think when I started this, it was really like the IT staff was in charge of this kind of thing, you know? And I think we're gradually realizing that, yes, certainly they might be involved in some aspect of it if you even are a big enough agency to have an IT staff. But first of all, IT is very specialized. So you could have IT staff and they might not be so specialized in these types of systems that you're going to set up. That's one thing. Another thing is that it really boils down, in some cases, especially again, if it's an off-the-shelf software, then it's going to boil down to the agency kind of doing their homework. You have to know what your requirements are and what you're trying to get done. And no IT professional is going to help you with that, honestly. That's really going to be, that's really your subject matter experts. That's the people who their day-to-day job is liaising with the customers and trying to figure out how to make the service better, trying to figure out what that user experience should be like, again, from the plan, book, and pay aspects. That's really a subject matter expert thing. You know, it's topical. It's experiential. It's not necessarily about the software. And then those people, once you start to talk to them about it and understand, you know, what the software should be doing or what your technology products should all be doing together, that's when you start to realize, oh, okay, that's what we're going to procure. Oh, it's going to cost about this much. So there's a process that you kind of go through. And I think a lot of agencies have become a little bit more flexible with this, and they have more staff members that have at least done this once and aren't so caught off guard by these questions, which I think, frankly, reflects a ton of progress. That's really important. We need to be talking to the people who are going to use the software. And especially, you know, sometimes you have administrative people or management staff, and they're going to be kind of pulling reports sometimes, or they're going to be kind of getting things set up in different zones if it's an on-demand transit system or something like that. And so there's, and that even puts aside the public users. So there's so many different types of users. And honestly, you know, understanding their requirements and what they'd like to see from it, and then coupling that with the products that are available at through a procurement, anyone who works in the transportation field could learn how to go through that type of process. It's about how much do you kind of want to expand your skill sets. And it's not easy the first time, but it just gets so much easier, because I find it to be a pretty logical process, and you just got to do it once, and then you're like, oh, okay, yeah, it works like that. And I think a whole agency can learn a ton through that first time.
That makes a lot of sense. Great. Well, thank you so much, Janae Fidrell. And so I understand you've also written recently a guidebook on new software adoption for small transit agencies. Tell us about that.
Yes. So CivicSphere partnered with DemandTrans on this resource for NCAT. And for those of you who aren't familiar, this is the National Center for Applied Transit Technology. It's also connected to CTAA, just like NCMM is. So Roger Teal with DemandTrans and I basically co-authored this resource, which is kind of a small book, and it's called New Software Adoption for Small Transit Agencies. This is a really practical resource that will help with different things that we talked about today, which is really how do you navigate that stakeholder engagement process? Who do you involve and when? And what do those conversations really look like? I think a lot of times we talk about this in general, but it's, you know, this resource provides specific examples of what you might walk people through to help you get more educated on that stakeholder aspect. Each chapter goes into a lot of depth about the software selection process and how you navigate more than just procurement, more than the stakeholder engagement, but really that's why we call it the adoption process. All the way till at the end, maintenance, updates, that kind of thing. So it's kind of the full life cycle of off-the-shelf software adoption. And I think it could be really interesting for this particular audience. The way that Roger and I think of it, it's been, this is the resource that tells you things you might not be aware of so that you kind of know what you didn't know before. And that'll help you really target into those things that need to get done that maybe you just couldn't have been aware of before. It just really lays it all out in an order that I think is fairly digestible. So it could be something that people are interested to read up on.
Great. Folks will find that on the National Center for Applied Transit Technology website, n-cat.org. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for all your work on the One Call, One Click Resource Center.
Yes, it was a pleasure to join you today. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Conversations with Leaders is funded by the National Center for Mobility Management. Thanks also to Alvin Charity for editing and audio engineering. Check out all of NCMM's resources aimed at mobility managers at nc4mm.org. A link to this podcast can also be found at nc4mm.org/blog.